This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
Welcome to World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. I admire MGMT more and more with every release they put out. A band whose debut album, Oracular Spectacular, spawned massive hits, including the anthemic Kids. Since that point in the mid-aughts, instead of returning to the well to churn out more of the same, they instead went and became one of the most adventurous and uncompromising outfits in music. The only thing you'll know for sure is that they'll surprise you. And there are plenty of beautiful surprises on their latest album, Loss of Life. In many ways, it's a meditation about getting older. I caught up with Andrew Van Wingarden and Ben Goldwasser to talk about making Loss of Life, the unexpected influence of 80s metal band Queensryche, and how acid is no longer the solution to life's great mysteries. What is? Find out later in this interview. First up, a song from Loss of Life. It's Mother Nature from MGMT.
I wrote the fairy tale on a midnight drive, wanting to know if I'm more than alive. I torch the fields again and kill an honest man. Now I understand Mother Nature. Watch me running headfirst into the forest.
That's Mother Nature from MGMT. It's from their new album, Loss of Life. Andrew Van Wingarden and Ben Goldwasser are my guests today from MGMT here on World Cafe. My name is Kaleo. Ben, Andrew, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
It's been about 6 years since the release of your last album, Little Dark Age. It seems like you found a cadence where there's not necessarily a rush to get back into the studio after finishing the touring cycle. Andrew, when did you start to work or think about working on Loss of Life?
Well, so the end of the Little Dark Age album promo cycle was sort of abruptly ended by the COVID lockdown in spring 2020. And Ben and I kind of, I think both ended up having a forced reset in lots of ways and reconnecting with normal life, having done touring cycles for four albums before that. And, you know, there were lots of awful things going on, but we both felt pretty good about not traveling the world and kind of regenerating our minds and bodies.
I mean, in some ways, I don't think that we don't really have a pattern or a process for like getting in a creative mindset. Like it's never really, like it's always been something that's hard for us. And I think especially it's been hard for us feeling like we get off a tour and we're kind of emotionally and physically drained from that. And then we feel like we should feel this wellspring of creative energy after that and just get right back into it. But it's always been hard to do that. So I think that in some ways, just coming from this place of like, we're not musicians right now, like we're just people living our lives, I think that really helped the process in a lot of ways.
Ben, you said in a Rolling Stone interview that success for MGMT is having a group of passionate fans who will go with you on whatever risks you take with an album from album to album. How do you figure out where you want to go or what risks or what ideas you want to explore when you are kind of getting back into making music?
I mean, first of all, I feel like the impulse kind of comes from us. Like we have this compulsion to push ourselves and to do something we've never done before. And I think that's just kind of written into our DNA and how we operate. So, I mean, I don't even think we could do it any other way. It's not like we make a conscious decision to change gears and do something totally different or challenge people or something like that. It's just like, that's what we do. And I think we've been incredibly lucky to have people who follow along for the ride. But, I mean, I think also just like, we want to feel like we've connected with people. And, you know, I mean, we want to make music that makes us feel happy and fulfilled and like we did something meaningful, and to be met with a response from people that like we actually accomplished that is really gratifying, even if we're not looking for like widespread critical acclaim or something like that.
Yeah. We're talking with Andrew and Ben from MGMT. This is World Cafe. The new album is Loss of Life. The first track on the album, when I listened to it, I was like, what is this? It, you know, it really sort of throws you into the deep end of the album right away with a, I think it is, it's a traditional poem. It's several hundred years old, but it is read by John Stuart Parker. I'm Taliesin, I sing perfect meter.
Taliesin, I sing perfect meter, which will last to the end of the world.
I know why there is an echo in a hollow.
Why silver gleams, why breath is black,
why liver is bloody,
why a cow has horns,
why a woman is affectionate,
why milk is white,
why holly is green,
why a kid is bearded,
why the cow parsnip is hollow.
What was the inspiration? Why did you want to open the album with this poem?
First and foremost, I think we have a history, you know, some of the earliest recordings we made while we were at Wesleyan, like there's an early one where we sampled the moon landing, and there's a tendency where we, if we have a really fun instrumental, like Ben and I both feel like something belongs over it, like spoken word or dialogue or something. And so we had this bed of the kind of melodic theme of the album. Just kind of really serendipitously, we got in touch with our old front of house sound man, Michael Parker, who goes by Parker, and his father is the one speaking. He's an English professor, and he happens to make recordings of himself reading poems. And he sent one, and we listened, and it was like, this concept works, but this isn't the right poem. And then the next one was I Am Taliesin. Everything from the timing of it, it lined up perfectly. And also just the theme of it, kind of speaking about shape-shifting and taking the form of different animals, sort of kind of like an invocation and a setting that the kind of thematic tone of the album, we felt like it was really spot on. So it just kind of lined up like that way. And it happened to be the last track we completed while making the album, the introduction.
Wow. So is this something that your front of house guy says to you, you should know my dad reads poetry? Like, how do you get pitched on that? Or how do you find that out over the course of working with someone?
I think we did know that we were aware that his dad was a English professor, and I had no idea it was going to be that satisfying with the kind of a deep accent and the rolling the R's and that kind of thing.
Yeah, satisfaction is right. Like, it definitely feels like every like puzzle piece fit into place. Can we take like sort of a step back and say, like, how does that tie into the larger theme of the record?
We've come to think of the theme of the record as in a big way, like it's about, you know, cycles of kind of death and rebirth in a way, or like just the fact that like every ending is a beginning. We named the first track on the album, it's part two,
part
and
two,
the end is
yeah.
part one. So I think there's this idea of like, you know, not really distinguishing between beginning and end. And I think there's something about in the poem where it's talking about, you know, having lived all these different lives or been all these different things, it ties into that for us.
Yeah. We're talking with Ben and Andrew of MGMT. The new album is called Loss of Life. Christine and the Queens guest on the song Dancing in Babylon. This was another one that kind of caught me off guard. It's not what I expected. It's also outstanding. Andrew, how did that come together, getting Christine or working with Christine on the song and sort of the lyrical ideas behind it?
Yeah, so that song had a funny life where it began as this voice memo melody, kind of like happy-go-lucky sounding song about a couple that lived at the beach named Catherine and Bobby. That it's a real couple that I had met and didn't know too well. And for a while I was like, okay, should we be really writing a song about this couple that I'm going to interact with and see and don't really know very well? It's kind of weird and creepy. But thankfully, sort of like the song kept shifting and evolving and went from this sort of magnetic fieldsy sounding thing to more where it is on the album, which was sort of like a halftime 80s ballad thing. I mean, for the most part. But so we had been in touch with Christine and the Queens years ago about collaborating, and the timing never worked. And when we had this song that felt like a duet and felt like it was sort of firmly in the 80s pop realm, immediately his voice is someone is something we thought of and wanted to kind of try it out. And kind of sort of similarly with the poem, it was just something that happened quickly and easily. It was great. It was very satisfying as a collaboration.
it makes complete sense. It's not, you know, sometimes you don't even think about what bands might go well together, but this is a really great match. It's MGMT with Christine and the Queens here on World Cafe.
I want to clear the air by Monday if all the tanks are gone. And when it settles down, I wonder if I like what we've done. You know we just started. We're proud hearted, like fish in the lobby, dead and gone, and dancing in Babylon.
It's MGMT here on World Cafe, Dancing in Babylon, featuring Christine and the Queens. It's from their new album, which is called Loss of Life, talking with Andrew and Ben from the group. I know some bands are, you know, keen on, like, this record, we're going to avoid doing this. We're going to make a conscious effort to focus away from this instrumentation. You sort of talk about song structure being an important part of this record. Is that something that you traditionally do, or is that something that just sort of, like, I guess we've made a record that doesn't have this or intentionally does that?
I think, like, by our own nature, I mean, we set a lot of intentions and then we basically end up doing the opposite thing. So I guess if we're like, if, you know, we were really clever, we would set an intention to do the opposite thing from what we actually wanted to do. And then it would happen.
Double cross. Is that, do you agree with that, Andrew?
I think sometimes, but I also think Ben and I, part of our creative connection is that we have this ability to share almost like unspoken and subconscious intentions that we both want to accomplish. And then we play around with the process in a way where, you know, we're never really sure what's intentional and what's happening in an alchemical way. You know, Ben and I have known each other since we were 18 years old, and now we're both 41 years old. and we've been making music for the same amount of time. I think what has allowed it to continue to be fun and let us push boundaries is that we have this sort of like bond that is something that neither of us can really explain or describe. And we try to remember that when we're working on music.
We have that kind of relationship with Dave Fridman too, who we've worked with since our first record. And I mean, Patrick too, to some extent, like we've done two albums together at this point. But I think there's something especially about working with Dave where we know we can go in with an album of like mostly finished material that we're ready to mix. And we know that he's going to get it. Like we know he's going to understand where we're coming from and we don't have to do a whole lot of explaining.
He's been there along with you for, you know, all five albums. Are there things you can count on him to say that you might not necessarily, because of how you two work together, he's like that important sounding board?
I think he has a deeper understanding of the band and also our relationship, our personal relationship, than probably anybody else. And he's like the fifth Beatle of MGMT. we've done everything we've ever done with him. I mean, it always goes through Dave's hands at some point. It is pretty amazing. The thing with Dave that I think is kind of extraordinary is that he knows how to encourage us and motivate us, but without kind of pinning us to one thing. He helps dissolve our kind of self-doubt or second guessing and let things develop. And that, you know, that's taken years and years for us to improve that and get better about that. And finally now it's just really feeling kind of like we have a flow pretty immediately when we go into Tarbox Studios.
You're listening to World Cafe. Ben and Andrew from MGMT are my guests. My name is Kaleo. In the album release announcement, you or whoever wrote the album release announcement made a crack about being only 20% more adult contemporary and no more, please, I believe was the line. But then in listening to the album, there are a few 20% adult contemporary moments, but then there's Nothing Changes, which feels like it may be only 20% away from being full adult contemporary.
Yeah, I think we allowed ourselves to go there.
Yeah, I'd love to know a little bit about, you know, where this song came from sonically, because, you know, for the first 20 seconds, I was like, oh, what dreamy 80s vocalist could be singing over this, you know, before, you know, Andrew, you kick in and kill it.
Wait, so I forget, what was your main reference for the vocalist? Was it...
You're asking me? I know this is... It's an example of something that makes Ben and I laugh and that makes a lot of sense to us, but other people won't really hear it. But anyway, it's Queensryche.
Right.
No. I can totally get like Queensryche doing a ballad, just leaning into it. It's 1983 or something like that. Where does that inspiration come from? Where do you go? Like, I want to make a song that sounds like 1980s Queensryche.
That's honestly a difficult question. I could say it's probably because I enjoy singing like that. I enjoy singing in that register in that character almost. And we've never really done that. So I was like, this is the moment to do it.
Let's take a listen to Nothing Changes. It's MGMT here on World Cafe. I should change. I shouldn't be here. But nothing's gonna change, believe me. That's a bit of Nothing Changes. It's MGMT. The new album is called Loss of Life. We are here with Andrew Wingarden and Ben Goldwasser of the band. My name is Kaleo. So this is the first album after finishing up your deal with Columbia. And I don't want to spend too much time in business stuff because that's not as interesting as the music stuff. But from a creative standpoint, does not having a record label like that, like a big major, affect how you work or what you choose to work on?
We had generally a good relationship with Columbia when we were working with them. And there was never a moment where it's like they put their foot down and were like, you can't release this or it's not commercial enough. Like they were pretty supportive of us making whatever music we wanted to make. But then like it still had to go through the machine in some way. And I think there was a feeling of kind of liberation just working on a record, not being on a label at all and being entirely on our own schedule and not having to go be like, okay, we need more money for this or something like that. And that definitely found its way into the music.
I apologize. I'm not sure which one of you said this, but I didn't I knew that there is a different thing for working from the label thing, but some of the mundanity of expectations and obligations like surprised me. Like for an album to be an album, there needs to be a certain number of songs and they need to be a certain length. That just seems like a ridiculous set of constraints to work under.
It's weird to me too that there's a lot of there are a lot of current albums that are now like, you know, it's 75 minutes long, epic, you know, has to be the statement that's like, you know, probably don't even remember half the songs on it, but it's 75 minutes long. And, you know, I think for us, like we're really into just making a concise statement. And I mean, I don't know, like a lot of like classic albums in the 60s or whatever were like maybe half an hour long. If you really, in like the songs were like 2 minutes or something, you know, it's sure. Just a lot's changed, I guess.
We're around the same ballpark age. I'm 44. And I think for me, where that disconnect changed, listening to my parents' LPs, and then the CD came. And the CD was 74 minutes of, you could get 74 minutes of audio on that album. And God knows some bands tried. Does technology, like the medium, does that influence or inform, like, gosh, I just want 9 songs. That's an album. And I'm totally cool with that. I don't need to be worrying about filling up an infinite playlist or something like that?
There's a few different factors. I mean, one is that we're not, generally speaking, like a prolific band that has a folder of 100 songs. We kind of mix and produce and arrange as we go. I think we've also been conditioned by being on a major label and coming from a more maybe old school, slightly outmoded thinking about what an album is. You know, it's like a vinyl release, and if it's over 40 something minutes, it's going to start sounding worse. The actual quality of the sound.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, back in the day, the more music you put on, the less there was audio to grab, and as a result, like, yeah, the quality degrades. I forget, it was like Todd Rundgren.
It still happens. You know, that's why we, even with our new album, we were kind of like, we want it on a single record, but you know, we might lose a little bit on on the last tracks on the side.
If you have a track with like the track that you want to hit the hardest, you'd put at the beginning of a side because like the bass is stronger, which, you know, is like not something most people would think about, but it's like, if you know, it informs the track sequence of a record.
This is World Cafe. We're talking with Andrew and Ben of MGMT. The new record is Loss of Life. One more song from the record that I definitely want to talk about and play, because this one gave me feelings and I didn't know how I felt about it. And that's always a good sign when I'm listening to a record where it doesn't immediately put me in a space where I'm like, this is how I'm supposed to respond. And appropriately titled, I Wish I Was Joking. Andrew, what is going on with the protagonist of this song?
I mean, that's a great question. I feel like I am the protagonist in this
song.
You are? I think it's a pretty personal kind of first person song lyrically. I think what's happening is that for this new record, we both felt an urge to be direct and be sincere and challenge ourselves musically and lyrically to work with themes that are, you know, it's hard to not sound cheesy when you're talking about like the power of love in a song, but that's a major theme on our album. And so I think that the lyrics are sort of dealing with being MGMT, being a band that has historically been recognized as being like psychedelic pop and taking inspiration from acid trips and all of this stuff, and now being 40 years old and saying, you know, actually, you know, drugs are kind of bad, and the answer to life is actually love and stability and relationships. I wish I was joking, but that's it. And so that's kind of the gist.
Beautiful. Let's take a listen. It's MGMT. I Wish I Was Joking here on World Cafe.
Half of love is still love. You beg the dawn to ease you in. Pass the time a thousand ways. In the dump, you'll find love. Half the time, I feel sad. Any kind of love will do, but it's a job. Don't know if that's the dream.
On World Cafe, that is I Wish I Was Joking. It's MGMT. It's from their new album, Loss of Life. Andrew, Ben, thank you both for being here. Congrats on the new album. It really is fantastic, and always excited to see and hear what you do next. So please come back again soon.
Thank you so much. We're excited for people to hear this record.
Awesome. I bet. It's MGMT. We're back in a minute with more World Cafe.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beats. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
This message comes from Jackson. Let's face it, retirement planning can be confusing. At Jackson, we're working to make retirement clear for everyone, starting with you. Our easy-to-understand resources and user-friendly digital tools help simplify your entire experience. You can have confidence in your retirement with clarity from Jackson. Seek the clarity you deserve at Jackson.com. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the NPR Wine Club. NPR Wine Club members have contributed over $1.5 million to helping create a more informed public. Be 21. Join the charge at nprwineclub.org/podcast.